And right now we're joined by the Jets color commentator on the radio broadcast, Anthony Becht. And let's get right to it here. Are we at a spot? I mean, we haven't seen the Jets play in, it'll be over a week since Sunday, or it was a week from today. Obviously, on Sunday, it's going to be over a week. Are we at a spot where we could trust this Jets team doing what they need to do against a team that they are a touchdown favorite?
Yeah, you know, I think coming off last Thursday's performance, it's a great starting point. I mean, you know, consistently putting W's together ultimately defines football teams. You know, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they win consistently. It doesn't look pretty, but they find ways. Is this team able to do that? We're still in that process of learning, but if it goes off of what we saw, the balance, the defense, everybody, the contributions collectively by all three phases by the Jets in the last game, you know, people can say what they want about the Patriots, but they, you know, they took Seattle to overtime and they beat a Bengals team. Yeah, I get it. They don't have a win, but I don't think anybody's sitting here thinking the Bengals isn't or aren't a good football team. So, you know, they stepped up in a prime time situation on offense. I think everybody wants to see the continued development of Aaron Rodgers. I always kind of, in my mind, felt like game five is where you're going to see him, where he should be peaking. And I think right now it's progressing even better. So there's stages for everybody, even Aaron, but I think it looks really good. And we'll find out, you know, as the season and this week continues, how good they continue to be on a consistent clip.
What do you think is progressing more here as the season's gone on, the offense with Rodgers or that defense, which a lot of people thought could be special going into the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all kind of relatively looked at the defense. I think the one thing about the defense, I think everybody's worried about, okay, Jermaine Johnson's down, and then they go get seven sacks, and everybody wants to get, you know, Reddick signed. Well, you know, Reddick isn't a guy, you know, that's going to come in and stop the running game, so that's a waste there. But he is a premier pass rusher, but clearly, you know, with the emergence of Will McDonough and what he's done, that's been kind of the de facto where they have a little bit more leverage now on their end. Do they have great depth there? No. But they got enough. They got enough players to rotate in there where they're getting a ton of contribution. Offensively, I think what you're seeing is the ball's getting distributed to other guys. Other players are making plays in the passing game. You know, when you get the tight end involved, Lazard's involved, you know, Mike Williams is involved. Everybody's like, okay, first game, nobody got involved except Wilson and Breece Hall. Well, the ball's getting distributed, one, because they're taking Garrett Wilson away, but also the fact that guys are catching balls and they're getting some confidence with Aaron Rodgers distributing it. So now it's like, okay, how do you start game planning with Garrett? Other guys are catching the ball. Defenses can't really take him away anymore. That should open up more. But how are you systematically finding ways, whether it's movement, putting Garrett in the slot, so that you can get him the football? I mean, neighbors, if you're white, they got him the ball. Everybody knows he's getting the ball, but you've got to make sure you find ways to, you know, I think he ran a sail route out of the backfield. I love it. The way you kind of figure out and get balls to those kind of players, that's what the Jets have to continue to do. But the fact that distributing the ball well, that's huge. And that's only going to improve the run game every single week with which we've seen so far by both backs.
So we're talking Anthony Becht, of course, former Jet, first-round pick back in 2000, part of the Jets broadcast team as well. BT and Sal on the Fan. Rodgers' mobility is just, wow, that was a welcome sight. Opens up the playbook. You surprised he looked that bouncy the other night?
Loved it. I mean, it clearly showed. And not only that, guys, the eyes down the field, I think he was 6 for 6, moving outside of the pocket, you know, just extending plays. And I thought, yeah, the movement, it wasn't just the movement. I thought there was good pace, good tempo. He protected his body. He knew when to throw, when to get out of bounds, when to slide. He was very cognizant of those things. And that, for him, is confidence. I think he needs that. He needs to feel those things. He needs to feel the shot right on the outside, you know, going out of bounds. All those different things when you're driving off the foot, those things, to me, expedite the process to get him back to where everybody thinks he should be. And quite frankly, you know, if he continues to do that and build upon that, I mean, it's only going to get better and better.
I think that this team, Anthony, could be, yeah, I don't really know how many teams were in this category a year ago, but it's not many. I think at the end of the year, the Jets could be a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got everything there. Yeah, the offensive line stays healthy. I mean, guys, when you turn the film on and you see these guys come off the football, it's a pretty sight now, and you can see it in the press box. There's extreme push across the board. You know, I love the fact that tight ends are sticking their face in there a little bit, and it's a struggle for those guys because they're more pass-receiving guys that they're buying in. And you got two backs, quite frankly. When you get them to the second level, you got to deal with, you know, Braylon Allen, who's going to run your ass over, who's a scary guy once he gets to the second and third level. And Breece Hall makes people miss. I mean, getting him through the defensive line, that's a problem for any defense. So the way they're utilizing him, I love the fact they're both on the field at the same time. And I, again, Now, you know, how do you continue to grow? How do you continue to find ways to get Garrett Wilson involved when they're trying to take him away? And it's a challenge this week, you know. Surtain has shut down, you know, CD Metcalf week one, old boy from the Steelers, and Mike Evans from the Bucks. 3 weeks, I think these guys have less than 40 yards receiving. So are you going to just stand, you know, Garrett Wilson out there and go one-on-one when Pat Surtain is going to be following him around? No, you got to get creative and do some things. I think their defense has played well as well. They had 7 sacks last week versus the Buccaneers. So I think everybody thought Bucks were playing pretty good football, and they did it on the road as well.
So does that mean the Jets are going to have to run it on them this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting front. You know, you got that 3-4 front. You got 5 guys at the line of scrimmage. You know, they're not the biggest guys on the edge. You know, when I played against the Patriots, that look, you had, you know, McGinnis and Vrabel on the edge. They don't have bigger guys. So, to me, I think there is a way to run. And let's be honest, guys, Alex Singleton, I mean, this guy, 170 tackles average the last 2 seasons. You pull him out of their defense, don't tell me you can go pull a guy off the sideline and he's going to be the same production. You now you're going to talk about safeties and corners that are going to have to increase their tackling ability as well. And to me, that's a problem. Like you said, when you got Allen and guys that can inflict pain in the second level, you know, you're asking a linebacker to step in and equate to the output of Singleton. It's not happening. This guy's averaging 10 tackles a game minimum. So that's a problem for them. They're going to have to deal with it. And yeah, they are going to try to run the ball. And I think they can be effective versus this defense.
How about Bo Nix and Sean Payton going up against Robert Saleh and that Jets defense? You think Bo Nix could take advantage of some of the issues the Jets have been having on defense through the first few weeks?
Yeah, you know, really good growth and stride by Bo Nix. But when you watch the film, guys, it was his best game as a rookie so far. But, man, there's a couple, 3 or 4 throws. You're like, oh, God. You know, like he's almost, you know, throwing it to a guy real quick on the other side on the defense. So he used his legs well. You know, as a head coach, and I tell my guy all the time, when we had a backup quarterback coming in, it's like, take the layups. Take the stuff that's there. That's what he's doing. If his primary guy's not there, he has a really good understanding of getting it to the check down, getting it to the tight end. If they're giving him a hitch on the outside, take the hitch. And he moved around and made some people miss with his legs. Now, they heated him up a little bit in the red zone, threw a pick against the Steelers, didn't look pretty. You know, heated him up a little bit in Tampa Bay in the red zone, couldn't get the touchdowns. You put a little pressure on him, he's got to make those decisive decisions. He's still a rookie, and he's still going to have the issues. You can't let him break free out of the pocket. I think the pass rush, obviously, has been good. They got a lot of speed at linebacker, the Jets, right, with Williams and Sherwood, so he's not going to be able to outrun them. So now those 3 or 4 passes that he's made every week, even last week versus the Bucs, where they had a huge game and they won collectively as a team, they're there. So it's up to the Jets to make good on those interceptions and those opportunities that maybe some of these other teams, in particular the Bucs, didn't make last week against them, and they end up losing the game.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's an anti, you know, Sean Payton type of team. I mean, the offense is, you know, sputtered along here. The defense is ahead of the offense, so it'll be interesting to see that. I want to go back to something with the offense here, because I think that you need to clarify this. We've heard it quite a bit. By the way, Anthony Becht is with us here, BT and Sal, Jets broadcast team, former Jet. And a lot of people have thrown this out there. I've thrown it out there as well. Well, the chemistry between Rodgers and Garrett Wilson is not yet there. Okay, that sounds encouraging. I believe it. But as a former player and an analyst, what exactly does that mean, and how can it get better?
I don't know if I see that. I don't think I buy that out. You know, I mean, I look at the training camp. I look at preseason. I look at the poignant moments where they got to get him the ball. I mean, outside of a couple really tough back shoulder throws that are like, you know, I mean, what are the percentages of those sometimes, you know, catches? I mean, they're low. You got to be really good at quarterback. You got to be on the same page there. And, you know, they've caught a couple. They've dropped a couple. But he is being phased out. There is bracket coverage there. Other guys are open, you know. At some point, like I said, you're going to have Garrett Wilson go out there. He's just going to whip somebody, and he's going to get the rock. And Aaron Rodgers isn't going to miss him. Then there's ways, okay, how do you get creative? Like I said, this is a very good secondary, okay? Are you going to just line up Garrett Wilson and say, hey, he's going to be one-on-one. They're not going to double him versus the Broncos. Even with Surtain and the other kid, Riley Moss, who's okay, he's having a good year, he's going to beat those guys in one-on-one most of the time. I don't think the Broncos are going to waste time trying to double Garrett Wilson this week. I think his options and his ability to get more targets will be there this week, because I think he's a true one that can beat any corner in the league when it's one-on-one. He hasn't really gotten that because they put a couple other guys in, and the Jets have are making hay on it with the other players. So, you know, when those moments come, we'll see this week, do they connect? Do those things happen? I mean, hell, that touchdown outside, that's pretty good between those two guys being on the same page, putting ball where it needs to be. No, that's, you know, as simple as the route. Look, it's a difficult deal. It's a difficult throw, and it's an incredible catch by Garrett Wilson. So I think those things get better as the weeks go on. Yeah, from the outside looking in, you probably think, well, they just can't get on the rock. They're not on the same page. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if that's quite there yet. It's going to take a couple more weeks to see some other decisive stuff that makes me think anything different.
Were you a little surprised? You don't see this too often. Aaron Rodgers with McAfee, mentioned Hassan Reddick by name, took a little shot at his agent. Now, generally, you know, players keep their beaks out of other people's bank accounts here. I know he was kind of, you know, saying it like, you know, flippantly, whatever. But I thought that was a little rare. And where are we with the Reddick? I mean, it's enticing to think about what they could be with him. Does this thing get resolved?
This is how I look at it. And listen, this is just me thinking about it as a player in the circumstances involved. These are the things that we know. You know, he's given up a lot of money this year, even though it may not be the money he deserves, what he's produced on the field, but that's the contract that he has left on the table. So that money's going away. I mean, a couple more games, and he's not going to see any of that stuff, right? Secondly, he's 30 years old, okay? Now, he may be a penny pincher and save a ton of money, and it doesn't matter to him, but when you're giving up $15 million, and then you're giving up an opportunity to be on the field, as the weeks go on, man, you cannot train outside of the game of football to get ready to play a real game and do the things you can do. Yeah, you know, he'll come back. You throw him in on third down. Okay. Well, you know, you want a little bit more out of him than just one or, you know, 10 snaps a game. You want the guy to be out there and make something happen for you. So, to me, I don't know what money is he making next year? People just, well, you're a year older, yeah, man. I don't know if you can do it. So, to me right now, Hassan Reddick's got to make a choice outside of what his agent thinks and what he truly believes, because he's probably going to end up, hell, get a one-year deal for whatever to prove it next year. Like, now he's missed out on potentially $30 million over two seasons because nobody's going to give him the money that he wants. So, he ain't getting it from the Jets. Unless there's another defensive end that completely gets knocked out, he's done for the season, he may have some heavier leverage there, because at some point you're going to have to do something. But at this point, with the team playing the way they are, the defensive ends playing, the depth they have, they're playing undrafted defensive ends, they're playing well. Like, what is he bringing to the table right now that's worth to even give him more money than he should deserve? And the fact that he hasn't been in the building. So
yep.
That's how I look at it right now. I think right now Hassan Reddick has to look at himself and make a business decision from his own self and not maybe listen to some of the agents and people around him and what they're saying.
Now, I agree with you, but the one thing that you're not factoring in, which I do, is how vulnerable Joe Douglas is here. The Jets don't win, he's gone.
I mean, you know, where's he going?
He's going to get fired. Again, what do you mean, where's he going? He's gone.
Oh, you're talking about, well, I mean, listen, I don't think anybody's sitting there thinking, they feel good about what they're doing defensively. They have a really good defense collectively, and it looks like guys are showing up in the pass rush that, quite frankly, they had question marks. They believed in them, but they weren't sure. And now every week that goes by, when you have seven sacks and you see how Will does this week and Tack McKinley, they got fresh bodies that can come in. They continue to play well. The need is not there as much. And, again, that pulls away from them. What the original diagnosis of maybe how bad the situation has been doesn't really matter anymore. But you're right. Do they have to win? Is Hassan Reddick going to be the reason why they lose this year, guys? I just don't believe it, man. Could he be a key contributor? Absolutely, because the guy's a proven 10-sack-a-year guy. There's no question about it. But outside of that, man, they got a lot of playmakers on this defense. Don't tell me they can't win games without him.
No, I know. I got it. They've already won two without him, but they lost Jermaine Johnson. And listen, Anthony, I'm with you. Like, fundamentally, I think what you said about Reddick is spot on. I mean, forget about the nonsense from the agent. You're 30. Go get your money. It might be $30 million combined next year with a little cheap deal, because you're not getting the big money if you don't play this year. I agree. But from Joe Douglas's perch, yeah, you know, like if they kind of throw an egg up there, which I don't think they will, but if they lose a couple of games they shouldn't, or God forbid another injury they absorb, he's going to have to crack, man. That's all there is to it.
Well, let's have that conversation when it actually happens.
Right.
I'm just looking at what they got going on now. Hypotheticals, right? I mean, we can talk about those all day, but, you know, they're doing well right now. They're trajectorying in an upward position, and they got themselves, you know, a good opportunity moving forward here with, you know, with the Broncos on their schedule. Then they got the Vikings, which would be a good team to build. I mean, they're setting themselves up to where you want to be primed against two very good teams in the Vikings and the Bills. and they're going to get their chance to do that if they take care of business against the Broncos.
BT and Sal on the Fan, Anthony Becht. We're talking to him. Does the Jets radio color commentary, of course, former Jet. Real quick, couple for you. One that pertains to actually Sunday's game as far as the defense goes. Mosley, it doesn't seem like he's going to be giving it a go. How big of a loss is Mosley in this particular matchup, Ant?
I mean, right now, outside of his experience, is anybody questioning the speed that Sherwood and Williams have together right now in the field? I mean, you know, look, Mosley is a stud, a borderline Hall of Fame player. Like, the guy literally has sold out his soul the last couple of years when he couldn't get an offense around him to really capitalize on how good he really was being a Jet. And listen, he's not young anymore. I mean, you're talking about guys in his 10th season. You know, flies around, does everything he can to help his defense. But, you know, there's a reason why Sherwood's been groomed. He's been working through that. Quincy Williams, another guy. I mean, they got a lot of speed at the linebacker position. So as long as Sherwood's holding the fort right now, I feel like you don't lose anything. You may actually gain a little bit more speed. But the experience level, obviously, the instincts is what makes Mosley so good and really, you know, counters maybe the drop and a little bit of the speed, which isn't much. On what he brings to the table week in and week out.
And how much do you think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be looking for a little bit of revenge here against Hackett's former team? We know about it last year and what the Jets did, but Rodgers wasn't on the field. Peyton had some comments last year that were derogatory toward Nathaniel Hackett. We know how much Rodgers loves him. Any of that Rodgers, Hackett versus Peyton and the Broncos revenge factor for this Sunday?
He doesn't care. I don't think he cares at all. They played like last year. It's over. Like, nobody cares. Like,
well, he didn't. Rodgers didn't play.
Yeah, I understand, but he doesn't care. It doesn't affect him. Why? It doesn't. He wouldn't care.
He's just the way he responded, it seemed like he cared.
He's just sticking up for his OC.
Okay.
At the end of the day, it doesn't affect Rodgers' life at all. He doesn't care about stuff. He's sticking up for his OC, which is admirable, but at the end of the day, he ain't thinking about, oh, let's put up 50 against these guys. Like, they're going to go out there and try to win a ball game, and I think they're going to do it, you know, in good fashion this week. You know, off of what they've done the previous week.
All right, Ant. Well, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Have a good broadcast on Sunday. We'll be listening along and watching Jets-Broncos Sunday at 1. We appreciate it.
You got it, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that was a good spot. Sal, it's a great question, all right? I'm kind of with you. Like, certain, whether it's Jeter, Brady, you get those old Jedis, they look for whatever they can latch on to for even more motivation. And if it didn't bother Rodgers last year, wouldn't have said anything. He fought, like, he bit back with aggression. I think he's going to try to embarrass Peyton.
He's played with a chip on his shoulder his whole life.
Yeah.
And he did vocalize his feelings on it last year without having the ability to impact it. Now it's in his control. Well, that's why I asked the question. Anthony's around the team. He knows. I never talked to Aaron Rodgers before. I'm not around the team. I asked him. I would tend to think it would mean something more to him, but maybe he's beyond it. Who knows? We'll find out. When we come back, we'll find out what's in store for week 4 of the Perfect Parlay Pick segment. BT and Sal on the Fan.